Amen. Well, morning, everyone. I love this story of Emmaus. There's so many different ways you could go with it. There's so many different things to see in it. For us today, as we get into this series on the living word, I'm particularly interested in the fact that Jesus texts these two people walking alongside him on the road into the scriptures, and he begins to explain the scriptures to them, and we get to that lovely bit where they look back at it and they say, "Were not our hearts burning as he took us through the scriptures?" As we've been singing this morning and worshiping this morning and talking this morning, I've just had this sense that the Lord is recognizing that each of us are in this very different journey in some ways in life. We're all very different people, different things going on in our lives, but yet we have this wonderful thing in common, that is that we are all on a journey and we know the destination of the journey. We know where we are headed. That is our confidence, that is our hope, and we know that the Lord is with us as we go on that journey. And I love that second song that we had this morning, that line in it, blessed are those who walk with him. But isn't it the case that so often in life where we're on this journey and, you know, the world, things happen in the world, things happen in our lives, and as they did to these two people walking along with Jesus that day, and we just become distracted and we get all caught up in the events that are going on around us, events going on in our lives. And suddenly, like these two people, we become overcome with fear and anxiety and worry and questions and doubts and all of these things. And Jesus just beautifully brings them back and recenters them and grounds them again, and does it by bringing them back into the Word. And there's a really important message for us in all of that. I want to begin by thinking back to something that Jesus said, and we talked about it a few weeks ago, actually, and it's where Jesus says that listening to and obeying the voice of God is the most important thing that we need to do every single day of our lives. Every single day of our lives. And he says, you'll remember it, we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Interesting, isn't it? We don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. You flip that over, and the implication of that is, if you cut yourself off from the word of God, if you neglect the word of God, then what's happening is that we're beginning to cut ourselves off from the very source of life itself. And we become a little bit lifeless. We become directionless. We become purposeless in life when this happens. So we've got to be listening to God. We've got to be listening to God every single day. And how do we do that? We're going to explore some of those over the next few weeks together. The one we're looking at today is the Bible, the scriptures. It's maybe the one that's the most familiar to us in terms of a way of hearing from God. I love the fact that in our particular church tradition, every time we have a reading from the Word, we say, this is the Word of the Lord, and we give thanks for it. I love that. It's reminding us this is God's Word that is spoken to us. It's important. We take it seriously. We follow it. But in this story we've got this morning from the scriptures, this journey to Emmaus, what we hear is that these two people who are going along and Jesus brings them back into the scriptures, these are two people who would have been very familiar with the words that Jesus was speaking to them. They would have been very familiar as he started to go through the scriptures to them. And there's something interesting about that, because we too can become very familiar with the words on the page. We can open our Bibles and we can read through it in a certain way that says, I know that, I've heard that before, I understand that in my head. But what Jesus is doing to these two followers is he's bringing them into Scripture in a different way. And the Scripture isn't just connecting with their heads, it's connecting with their hearts. And when we get to a place where we do that in life, then God's Word, Scripture, the Bible, it just fires us up and it gives us life in ways that we do not frankly find life if we approach as an exercise of just reading something for words on a page. We've got to be approaching God's word in a slightly different way to that. So we'll look at that in a second. But let's just imagine the scene first. This is part of the Easter story. The women have discovered that Jesus' tomb is empty. They tell the disciples this. There's a lot of confusion. Nobody really knows what's going on. A bit like our lives, isn't it? We don't know what's going on sometimes. Things hit us, things happen. Weren't expecting that. What's going on? They're going through pain. They're going through grief of Jesus being put to death a few days earlier. It wasn't meant to end like this, for them at least. Then we see these two followers of Jesus on a journey to Emmaus, processing all of this. One of them is a man named Cleopas, and we're not told anything about the other. They're walking along this road. The day is getting on. I imagine there must be weariness in their steps. And then this person that we know, that they would come to know, but they don't know at this point, is the risen Christ, catches up with them. So he must be walking pretty briskly to catch up with them on this journey. And he doesn't just exchange a few pleasantries. You know, if you're walking along the coastal road and someone catches up with you and you know them, they might say hello or whatever, and they might continue on their journey. He doesn't do that. This is not a journey like any other. He catches up with them, and instead of just saying hello, he continues on the journey with them. And he joins them on their walk. And he sees the worry on their faces. And then he asks them that really important question. What are you discussing so intently as you walk along? That's a really strange question, isn't it? That's a really strange question for us today to hear Jesus asking these people, because we know that he knows the answer. So why does he ask the question? And what is all of this about anyway? Why does he not just catch up with them, see that they're worried, and just say to them, look, it's me, I'm alive, there's no need to worry anymore? Why does he not just get straight to that point? Well, it's because Jesus is doing something different here. And he's not just giving them what they think they need in that moment. What they think they need in that moment is immediate answers. They want answers to these questions they have in their head. What they think they need in that moment is instant certainty. That all these doubts and questions they have in their head, they just want them to go away. Like us. Don't we do that in life? We just want it to go away. We want answers. We want certainty in life. But Jesus gives them what they really need. And what they really need isn't answers to their questions in that moment. What they really need is a deepening of their faith. And how he does that is that he brings them into Scripture. And he reminds them of what the Scriptures said would happen. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory? He asks them. And then he takes them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from the Scriptures everything that was predicted that would happen. Just imagine what that must have been like. Just imagine in this kind of Bible study with Jesus. You don't even know it is Jesus, but you're sitting there just unpacking all this stuff, and it's all making sense suddenly. And all the confusion and all the pain and all the sadness that they had been experiencing, they all quite quickly begin to make sense in the light of what this person is saying that would happen to Jesus. And then something even more amazing happens after that. Because the next thing we know, it's nighttime, they're nearly at Emmaus, the journey is nearly over, 8 kilometers, whatever it was, and they're there. And they haven't known the time go in. The Scripture just says to us, Jesus began to talk through all of this stuff, and the next line says, then it was nighttime and they were there. It just flies in. They are loving this. And it's a little bit like, in those moments, that their earthly reality of what is going on in their lives, and this obsession that they've got themselves into, about their doubts and their sadness and their questions, all of that just disappears. And something transformative happens to them. And they experience something that is bigger than their pain and bigger than their confusion, they experience something that overcomes all of that. And only then does Jesus reveal himself to them. Because the point here is that Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead to immediately take away every moment of confusion or pain in our lives. He did not rise from the dead to give us instantaneous certainty about every single event in our lives. He did not rise from the dead to immediately answer every single question that we have in our minds. He rose from the dead to be the answer to all of these things. The answer to all of these things, he's telling us in his word, is in him. It is in his person. It is not the simple answer that we might want to the questions and the doubts and the struggles that we have. It is a much better answer. It is an answer that says, let me walk alongside you through all of this. Put your trust in me through all of this. Don't worry about the whys and wherefores of all of this. Simply trust that I have overcome all things and I am with you. It's like that wonderful hymn, there's lots of modern contemporary versions of it as well, says, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. It's not the assurance that the world gives. We're not talking here about the assurance the world gives. What assurance does the world give us? It gives us answers. It tells us what we want to hear. It tells us the things that thinks that we're going to get through the next 5 minutes. The blessed assurance is the assurance that goes much deeper than all of that and that tells us that Jesus Christ is over and above all things and he is with us. And there's a lesson for us in all of that. Because the lesson in it is this. These two people walking along this road will only get to meet the risen Lord Jesus in the flesh after they have met him in the scriptures. Isn't it the same for each and every one of us? We will only get to meet the risen Lord Jesus in the flesh, and we will one day. But for now, we meet him. One of the ways we meet him is in and through the scriptures, the living word that we spoke about last week. And there is power in all of that as well. Before they even understood that this was the risen Lord Jesus in human flesh standing beside them, do you remember what they said? Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? Not a physical burning. It's an intense inner experience that they're having here. It's like a heart that's stirring with hope. It's a heart that's bursting with positivity, with a deep, deep conviction, with that blessed assurance that everything is right with the world and that everything is going to be okay. And that's what Scripture does if we allow it to do it to us. If we approach Scripture with that open heart of saying, Lord, speak to me through this. Let my heart burn as I read your word today. Then that's what it does to us. It puts everything into perspective. Just think about those moments in your own life when you've been overwhelmed and you've read something in the Bible and suddenly that situation that you're facing, it doesn't disappear. It's still there, but suddenly you feel safe. That's what the Bible does. The Bible takes the stories of our lives and it puts them into the framework of eternity. It puts our stories, it puts our lives into God's perspective. And suddenly everything looks different because we're overcome by that inescapable feeling that there is something far bigger going on around us than we can possibly realize or imagine. And we don't understand it, but we do know that it is going to be okay. I love those words from the psalmist who goes through something similar. And he writes it down under the influence of God for us today and says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light becomes night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you." It's that wonderful psalm of conviction and hope and assurance. And the psalmist goes on to say those famous words that we all know. "For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." That is truth. That's what God's word does to us. That's why it's in God's word. Because it wasn't just the psalmist experiencing that. It's what God wants all of us to experience when we open his word. And we go through times of chaos and confusion and trial and tribulation and sorrow and suffering and pain and grief and all of these things in our lives. But how amazing to open God's word and to encounter him in it through the power of his Holy Spirit and to be able to say, "You created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made." These are the words of someone whose heart is burning because they feel alive. They know their life is complicated, but they're still able to say, as the psalmist would say, "Every day of my life is ordained and written in your book, and it was done so even before one of those days came into being. You know every single day of my life, Lord, even before one day came into being." The psalm, like all of Scripture, I've taken it as an example, but there are lots of, the Lord speaks through his word in lots of different ways. That psalm, like all Scripture, points us to Jesus. And it gives us that blessed assurance that the living word that we spoke about last week is in control of it all from beginning to end. And that's what Jesus is showing these two people on this road to Emmaus. That God's word in Scripture takes us miraculously by the power of his Spirit to the living word of God, Jesus Christ himself, the Alpha and the Omega. And every single time that we open it, something amazing happens. It's a precious book. Something amazing happens every single time we open it. And that is that we encounter the living word and the very source of life itself. That is why we cannot neglect it in our daily lives. The Apostle Paul put it really well in his second letter to Timothy when he said, "All Scripture is God-breathed." It is breathed out by God. It is inspired by God himself. And he speaks to us through it. Yes, he will correct us sometimes, but he will teach us also. He'll prepare and equip us to do every good work that he has called us to do. It is God-breathed. And that little phrase that Paul uses is a really important one, because that idea of God breathing brings us right back to the very first book of the Bible, and it brings us right back to the creation of human beings. Because when God first formed the very first human being from dust, we are told in Genesis that the very first human being came to life because God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. You and I have come alive because God has breathed the breath of life into us. The problem was that we did not cherish that gift of life that we had been given. The problem for all of us is that from time to time in our lives, we become suffocated, we become a bit lifeless, And why do we become lifeless? We become lifeless because we go off in all sorts of other directions, thinking that we'll find the source of life somewhere else. We think there's a better source of life somewhere else. And so we turn away from the living God and we look for life in other places. We never find it there. We never find it there. And the amazing, wonderful, beautiful thing is that God is waiting for us when we turn back to him, and he's still there, and he's still on that path with us, and he still wants to walk alongside that path with us. That's what we're remembering today as we come to this table. We're remembering that God looked in this world and he could not bear to see his people that he loves so much, so lifeless. And so at the cross, the Gospel of Luke tells us that Jesus breathed his last. He breathed his last. The one through whom all life came into the world breathed his last for us. Because what was happening that day on that cross looked like loss, but it wasn't loss at all. It was the great exchange going on. It was Jesus Christ, the source, the author of life, giving up his breath so that we, who had become and who occasionally still do become spiritually lifeless, so that we might breathe again, might breathe in that spiritual oxygen of life that only he can give, and would keep breathing it so that we would live lives where we too also have hearts that burn with the truth that all is well in our soul. So we need to keep turning to the living word. I just sensed the Lord was saying to me today about that. I didn't even remember that I'd prepared that, but as we were sitting there singing, I just sensed the Lord was saying to me that the message about all of this was about turning to him. Turn back to the source of life. I think that's what the Lord is saying to us today. Turn back to the source of life. That is who Jesus Christ is. And every time we encounter him, we turn back to the source of life. The reality is, if we neglect that, we will quickly find ourselves cut off from the breath of life. But you know, Jesus did not die in order for us to become stifled under questions and events and disappointments of this world. He died to give us the gift of new life. And the story of Emmaus is the story of the living word breathing out new life and assuring his followers that he holds all things together, that he knows the beginning from the end, that he and he alone can turn dust to life and ensure that saddened, confused hearts catch fire. And you know, that journey that day that they were on wasn't actually really a journey to Emmaus at all. Of course it was in one sense, that's where they were headed. But it was a far bigger journey. It was a journey to a table. It was a journey to a place where these people met the risen Jesus, and he fed their hungry hearts, and he healed their wounds, and he filled them with faith, and he filled their hearts with fire. It was a journey that was experienced through God's grace by Cleopas and his companion. The name of that companion is never given, because the companion on the road with the risen Christ is you and it is me. You and I today are invited once again to encounter Jesus Christ, the living word. He invites us once again to turn back and to walk with him, to receive that fresh spiritual life that he is here to give us, to keep breathing in that oxygen of life as we meet him in his word every single day. And as we turn to him, and as we receive that new life that he wants to give us, my prayer is that every single one of us in this room, no matter what situation we're in, no matter what doubts and fears and worries and questions and anxieties that you have carried in that door with you this morning, through an encounter with the risen Jesus Christ in this place today, may you experience, may I experience for the first time, or perhaps for the first time in a long time, that gift that he is here to give you, that gift that he died to give you, that gift that he lives to give you, which is the gift of a heart burning with life within you. That's something I want. If it is something that you want, then the amazing thing is that the only thing that he asks you to do is to say, I receive the gift. And as we come forward here today to meet him at his table, as we've met him at his word, then I invite you to open your hands and just silently in your own hearts, just to say, Lord, I receive that gift. Let's pray together. As we pray, I want us to just take a moment and consider our hearts. What are our hearts like? Have we come into this place today with hearts that are full of worry and anxiety? Have we come into this place today and we've got a heart that is carrying just a very heavy sense of dread about the days ahead? I invite you just to say, Lord Jesus, I receive your gift of life. Fill my heart with your peace. I wonder if some of us have come into this place today and we've been carrying a heart that just feels stuck, that nothing is working, that we're pushing against all these doors and none of them are opening, that we just feel that we are drifting in life and we don't really know where we're going. I invite us just to hand that over to the Lord and open our hands and just say, Lord, I receive your gift of life. I receive your freedom because you know the beginning from the end. I wonder if you're burdened by something. I wonder if your heart is really heavy because it is burdened by something or someone. And I just pray that you would hand that over to the Lord now, and that by the power of his Spirit in his place, this place, you would just ask him to take that burden and to release you from it. That's what his word says he will do. Ask him for release. Or if you're that lonely person, or there are many, many lonely people here, and you're actually feeling crippled by this sense of loneliness, and you've never spoken to anyone about it in your life before, but you're deeply lonely, I invite you just to hand that over to the Lord now and to receive his gift of life and to know what he says through his living word, that he will never leave you nor forsake you, that you're never on your own. Come, Lord Jesus, and bring our hearts back to your heart and fill us with life. In your holy name we pray it. Amen. Let's stand and sing.